Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, it's fall again, and maybe that should be our essay for today as we say hello and welcome another season. From a column by the very talented Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune, entitled, It's Time Again to Fall in Love with Autumn. It's fall again. Can you believe it? Sometime today or tomorrow you'll say that or hear it. It happens over and over. A season comes and goes and comes again, and still the predictable and inevitable remain astonishing. Remember this time last year? How did you fast forward so fast between then and now, reducing summer to a half-remembered blur? You wonder. Every year you wonder. And every autumn the change feels good, doesn't it? Autumn always feels good, as long as you don't think about it as the countdown to the cold gray heart of January. Bring on the season, said a big ad in Thursday's newspaper, a sentiment with which 99% of Americans would concur. Even summer boosters love fall. But before I wax on, however, a few words about that ad. It was for leaf blowers. A man was standing on a sidewalk shooting leaves with a tool as big as an AK-47, wearing the kind of earmuff suited for airport runway workers. Get a rake, dude. Let the rest of us enjoy fall in peace. I'm ready for fall, I heard a guy in the grocery store say a couple of days ago as he reached for a box of cereal. Well, fall does that. It provokes people to pay spontaneous homage to its charms in public places. Me too, said the woman with him. I miss my sweaters. It wasn't so long ago, June, if you live in Chicago, that you stripped off your sweaters as if released from bondage and would have sworn you'd miss sweaters about as much as you'd miss a rash. And those ugly winter hats, they were your crown of thorns. Winter scars were nooses. Boots were cinder blocks on your weary feet. Just yesterday, it seems, you stuffed all those torture devices into a remote drawer, and if the moths feasted, bon appetit, because you were never wearing a sweater again, not to mention long underwear. But now, the temperature dips. The air turns as crunchy as the fading leaves, and the sweaters resume their siren call. Yoo-hoo, come hither. Like the old flame who keeps showing up and making you briefly forget you get on each other's nerves. The very sweaters that drove you nuts in March make you feel nurtured when autumn rolls around again. Fall Fashion Bulletin. Claustrophobic is the new cozy. You regret that you didn't use the mothballs. If summer is the season that allows you to believe time has stopped, fall is the season that reminds you that it hasn't, and it won't. Summer says, nap. Fall says, wake up. As the great September song by Kurt Vile and Maxwell Anderson puts it, oh, it's a long, long while from May to December, but the days grow short when you reach September. When the autumn weather turns leaves to flame, one hasn't got the time for waiting game. Attention. Time is passing. Life is passing. Summer's license for laziness is revoked. In autumn, there is no hiding from the truth that this moment, this day, this life, isn't going to last forever. Or even very long. Oh, the days dwindle down to a precious few. September. November. And even if the lyrics skip October, only to make the rhyme work, they also signal something true. November will be here before you notice. And then, death. Sorry to be so blunt, but it's precisely fall's urgent undertone, along with the scarlet leaves and the slant of the sun, that makes it so intoxicating. Truth thrills, as long as the scenery is good. In autumn, exhilaration and melancholy ride side by side. Seasonal affective disorder, also known as winter funk, might be on the horizon, but who cares? Look how beautiful the light is now. Break out the sweaters, fire up the hot chocolate, and bat away the little voice that says, "Let's discuss sweaters again in February, you sentimental fool, you." It's time again to fall in love with autumn. And here we are, fall again. Something to enjoy. The weather has been nice. We've had some very delightful Indian summer days, and we'll continue that for a bit. And then it'll get chilly, but it's supposed to, right? Because that's what fall is. You know, we have the opportunity every once in a while to get the word out on some very worthy causes. And the one I'd like to talk about a little bit is about the Greenhall family of Lake Zurich. Got this information from my very dear friend Gary Peace and his daughter Nina, who were involved in this fundraiser. The Greenhall family of Lake Zurich, Illinois, will be hosting a fundraiser in honor of Martin Greenhall. Martin, also known as Marty, was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer as well as a brain tumor in February of this year. Even with his grim diagnosis, the effects of chemotherapy, as well as trying a new procedure known as gamma knife surgery for his brain tumor, this man has not once given up fighting this terrible prognosis. To honor his strength, courage, and to raise awareness for pancreatic cancer, the Greenhall family will be hosting a Bowl for Your Cure on Saturday, September 27th. Our Bowl for a Cure will be held at the Wakanda Bowl, 381 West Liberty Street in Wakanda, Illinois, from 1 to 4, again, on Saturday, September 27th. 100% of the funds raised will be given to support pancreatic cancer research in Marty's name through the Lustgarten Foundation. Visit the website at bit.ly/1VLA5BB for more information on how to participate. Please consider donating a monetary donation to help fight pancreatic cancer. Unless pancreatic cancer is found early enough and all of it is surgically removed, survival rate is slim. Your donation will help give pancreatic cancer patients, just like Marty, a fighting chance. Or you can call the pieces at kpece.18@gmail.com. Again, that's kpece.18@gmail.com with any questions. And there's going to be a 50-50 raffle, a silent auction, the bake sale they're going to have. And there's a $20 entry fee, includes two games of bowling, shoes, food, and soda. Kids 12 and under are free. Should be a great afternoon at the Wakanda Bowl. Again, 381 West Liberty Street in Wakanda, Illinois, 60084. And happy to get the word out for both Nina and Gary Peace, our dear friend. And it's what a great cause. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, sometimes I think we remember the great quote by Winston Churchill, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And that's certainly reflective of what the Peace family is doing and all of the people who are helping out the Greenhall family. So, again, that's coming up this Saturday. I just picked up a book, one of those Bill Riley books, Killing Patton. He had Killing Jesus, he had Killing Lincoln, he had Killing Kennedy. This one is Killing Patton, which is kind of an interesting story about George Patton. Of course, we're very familiar with the movie Patton with George C. Scott, which he won an Academy Award for. But kind of interesting the book about what's happening during the Nazi occupation of Eastern Europe and so forth. Just started it, so it should be kind of interesting. I want to get back to another little essay about autumn, because it's that time of year. And written by Edith Maynard out of Lake Barrington, and she entitles it Engaging Autumn. September has arrived and better days are coming. The golden season between summer and winter that extends from the September equinox to the December solstice. We often refer to that glorious time as fall, as in the dropping of the leaves. I like to think of it as autumn. Autumn has such a lovely feeling as it rolls over the tongue, sort of like yum with lots of mms in it. the blazing goldenrod has already begun to make its appearance in these early days of approaching autumn. Look for its graceful appearance in places that are uncultivated. Autumn conjures up such engaging memories and expectations, long walks on sun-drenched, crisp days, football games, World Series, apple picking, apple pies, pumpkins, and of course, pumpkin pie, Rosh Hashanah, Halloween, All Saints Day, the landing of the pilgrims, Thanksgiving, bicycle rides on trails littered with mosaics of sparkling, bright, crunchy leaves, and even fall cleaning. Poets have always found autumn to be fertile ground for inspiration. You might find it equally inspiring to open a book of poetry and find a delicious poem about autumn to read. I wish you joy. Very nice and very descriptive from Edith Maynard in Lake Barrington. Well, in honor of our first guest, I think we're going to play one of his most popular songs with Michael Smith. Of course, the very talented Jim Brickman, whom we're very looking forward to chatting with. Love of My Life. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Jim Brickman's classic, The Love of My Life. We're back on The Kevin Moore Show. One of the fun things about hosting my radio show is having the opportunity of making the acquaintance of some very interesting, talented, and fascinating people. And our next very special guest is just such a person. He's a man who's spoken to us through his music for many years. We're all familiar with his songs and music because they've become standards that speak to each of us and just simply touch our hearts. The songs like the one we just heard, Love of My Life, the classic Olympic-themed songs Hero's Dream and If You Believe, signature instrumentals like Rocket to the Moon and Angel Eyes, and songs that I and many others consider to be two of the greatest love songs of all time, Valentine and The Gift. The man whose distinctive piano virtuosity not only sets the standard, but also defines the essence of excellence that personifies pure romance for audiences of all ages. Few artists in any genre have enjoyed a more multifaceted career than Jim Brickman. As he celebrates his 20th anniversary, the chart-topping pianist continues to juggle several different ventures. As a self-managed recording artist, he is releasing a new album, The Magic of Christmas, and is kicking off a 40-city tour this holiday season. He continues to host his weekly radio show, Your Weekend, with Jim Brickman, while also steering his Brickhouse label, distributed by Somerset Entertainment, and its marketing and booking divisions, Brickhouse Direct and Brickhouse Network. Though he has built a diverse portfolio of accomplishments, Brickman's musical prowess has always provided the foundation for his empire. His distinctive piano style and insightful songwriting have earned him 6 gold albums, 2 CSAC Songwriter of the Year awards, Grammy nominations, a Canadian Country Music Award, and a Gospel Music Association Dove Award. Jim Brickman celebrates his 2 decades of musical chartbusters the only way he knows how, with his fans. With Jim Brickman, the Platinum Tour, celebrating 20 years. One night only at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora, on Saturday, October 18th. Treat yourself and the one you love to this night of emotion, intimacy, warmth, and humor. Fuse with Brickman's hits like Valentine, Rocket to the Moon, Love of My Life, and If You Believe. Join Grammy nominee Jim Brickman and special guests Annie Cochran and Tracy Silverman for an evening of music, laughter, and memories at Aurora's beautiful Paramount Theater. It's both a joy and a distinct pleasure to welcome the award-winning singer, songwriter, performer, musician, and author, Jim Brickman. Jimmy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Always great to talk to you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, and you're not busy enough. That's your problem, Jim.
Well, I like it like that. I'm not sure I would know what to do if I didn't. You know, it's just the way it's conditioned for me. It's very calm and peaceful and romantic on the inside, and very chaotic on the outside.
Well, it's like the duck on top of the water. He's paddling furiously underneath, but he looks pretty serene on top of the water.
Yes, that's a good one. I could use that more often.
You know, you travel a lot, though. I mean, how do you balance all the traveling you do, Jim?
You know, I'm sort of conditioned to it. My favorite time of the year is the Christmas tour because we're on a tour bus, and so it becomes your home away from home, a little bit like living on a submarine, but at the same time, it's also like kind of going to camp because all my friends are with me. And so I enjoy that, and I actually get used to the bus. That's my favorite way. But the rest of the year, you know, it can be kind of challenging, but, you know, you solve it. You use ways to calm and distract yourself, and it becomes, I'm used to it, I guess, is the only way to describe it.
You know, you say it's your favorite time of year, but it's our favorite time of year, too, because we're able to see you more often. That's kind of exciting.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I mean, we start touring right around now. One of our first dates is in Aurora,
yeah.
And usually we play there at Christmas, but this time, this fall, and so it's nice to be able to bring something a little bit different and play some brand new songs. I'm not sure how many Christmas songs are going to be included in October, but we may sneak a couple because there is a brand new holiday album, and I'm really proud of it, and a new one since The Magic of Christmas, so that's exciting.
Well, we're excited to see it. And, you know, I guess it's kind of difficult because everybody would like to see you around Christmas. You can't be everywhere, but that's what people would like to see, you know?
Yeah, we trade off as much as we possibly can. And, and we, you know, I try to get pretty much everywhere, at least every 2 years or so.
And you have two of your favorite performers with you this year on your tour, Annie Cochran, who's been with you for many years, and Tracy Sullivan, very, very talented, of course, violinist.
Yeah, they really are the family when it comes to the familiarity and the chemistry and the musicianship. It's great to have them, and I think a lot of fans have gotten so comfortable with them that I think they're not sure what to do when they're not there, you know?
You know, I know we do what we do because we all have to earn a living, but what you do, and you do so fluidly, and you do so in a welcoming manner, it's something that's sincere that you bring on the stage. That can't be faked. You must still enjoy every time you get on the stage and spend time with your audience.
I really do. I wouldn't do it if I didn't feel that way. That it's got to be, I think, for any performer, live performer, there's an expectation and what the audience deserves, and they deserve someone who's engaged, and they deserve to be entertained. These days, this is some disposable income that can be used for many, many other things besides entertainment. So what I love about doing it is that it's live theater, and anymore with the advent of technology and the immediacy of the way we get our entertainment, it's nice to go out and into a gathering and be with community and see, you know, live music. I really believe in that wholeheartedly. I'm a huge fan of live theater and live music.
Do you introduce any kind of technology into your shows or anything that you see that now is kind of popular in the normal presentation of some entertainers out there?
Absolutely not.
That's a good answer, because some people do. Yeah, it's true.
Well, you know, my take on that is that everybody's seen everything. If you go to Broadway, or if you go downtown Chicago and you see pre-Broadway stuff, or you go to Trans-Siberian Orchestra or something like that, I would never have enough pyrotechnics to impress somebody that they haven't seen before. It's like movies. I mean, nobody wonders anymore how they do movies like, you know, Star Trek or Spider-Man or these kind of things. They just, you know, they just assume it's going to be amazing, right? And the one thing that you can't turn digital, or you can't, that is better to impress people with, is raw talent, is what I believe. And my shows have always been a conversation. They're a get-together. They're nostalgic in a way. They are comfortable. And it is, to me, it's the renaissance of the way entertainment used to be. And I think sometimes, I always say that if people leave talking about the lights from my concert, I'm in big trouble, because that's not what they're there for.
You know, and I think that's a good point, because I do the same thing on my radio show, I know that you do on yours, is you like to think or make people feel that you're having a conversation with them in their living room, their dining room, or the kitchen table, to make it that comfortable. And I think when you go to a Jim Brickman show, you could have that same entertainment, or the same, if you were sitting in your living room with a piano and a couple entertainers that are playing instruments and so forth, because it's that intimate, because there's a welcoming feeling about that, which makes people feel good, because that's really who you are, and that's the feeling people get about you.
Yeah, you can't fake that.
No.
I think people may not notice it right off the bat, or they may leave the theater thinking, I don't know what it was, but it was okay or something. And,
right.
And sometimes that has to do with the how invested the performers are. And, you know, I mean, everybody has a bad night once in a while, but I would never bring that to the stage. It's just not my comfort zone is actually the stage, way more than it is anything else. I would rather be on stage than go to a cocktail party. I'd rather be on stage than than go to a dinner or a, you know, an award show or anything like that. It's not, it comes completely naturally to me, and it wasn't always that way, but now I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
At what point, Jim, did it become natural to you? At what point did you feel like, well, this is absolutely where I belong? And is there any routine that you get into before you get on the stage and do a show?
Well, the first time I did it, I was totally comfortable.
Really?
It's just that I didn't do it for the first time until I was in my early 30s. So up until the point that I was on a stage, I never even considered being a performer. It wasn't, you know, I was very happy. I was a jingle writer. I wrote songs for other people. Mm-hmm. I was, I was in advertising. I was recording. When I got the record deal, I just assumed solo piano. I just figured, well, I'm just going to play the piano and I'll record it and then they'll just sell it. I mean, I was really fairly naive. I was mature, but I was naive about the business.
Sure.
And the label said, so when does your tour start? And I said, well, you mean like on stage in front of people? I didn't even occur to me that was good. Who would come see solo piano music? That sounds boring to me. So I had to think of a way to make it entertaining, something that I would want to go see. Because I didn't want to be just playing a piano recital. That I wouldn't. I do it, and I wouldn't like that if I went to see it. So I wanted to make it more theatrical. When I say theatrical, again, I don't necessarily mean people jumping around and you know, lots of great sets and things like that. I mean, what I mean is that the approach is more like going to a theater experience than a rock concert, let's say.
Heck, I remember when you used to perform at Geraces at University Yates there. I thought that was...
I did. I performed trying to get a date with a girl sitting in the next booth. I performed a lot of eating.
One of my favorite Italian restaurants when we were going to John Carroll, Geraces. That was a great place. You know, we had the opportunity last year when you were traveling around. We had, and what a delightful man he is, Johnny Mathis on the show. And, gosh, I got to tell you, for a guy of his stature, and that's the only way I can describe it, Jim, just friendly and warm and delightful to chat with and just a regular guy.
Well, that's what I look for in my collaborations and with my stage partners. I mean, obviously he's an icon, so there was that minor detail. But when they turn into people who turn out to be kind and generous and sweet, and he was so wonderful. I really enjoy him, and because I got on this track of duet partners that I've always admired, that are on my list of people to work with, this year I decided not to just rest on the laurels of the relationship with Johnny. And so this year, on the album that just came out, it's a brand new Amazon exclusive. You can only get it at Amazon, which is the first for me. I am doing a duet with Kenny Rogers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
He is, which I was always, you know, I love his voice, and I was always a big fan growing up. And so, you know, he's kind of in that icon place as well. And again, could not be sweeter, kinder, funnier, charming. So he's singing a brand new song of mine on the album, and as well as John Oates from Hall & Oates. He's joining me on a duet on this Christmas album as well.
You know, I have to get our mutual friend Dave Gallagher on that, because I'd love to have Kenny Rogers on the show.
Yeah.
And chat with him a little bit. And I didn't get the CD. Claire was sending it out, and I didn't get it before. Of course, we're taping the show here today.
We don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it yet? Okay.
Yeah. The only people that have it are Amazon.
Okay.
I, I will send you a preview, but it comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, of course, we're going to showcase it and play it in the show and get the word. I'm looking forward to that. And also, John Oates, too, a nice gentleman. We've had him on the show, too, chatting with him.
Nice.
And they have their own Christmas album. Hall & Oates got a great Christmas album also, which is terrific. And I think that's what's fun. You look forward to the newer Jim Brickman Christmas album, and now here we got another one coming out, which is terrific.
Well, you know, I really love this season, and it wasn't something I was planning to do, but I had all these new songs, and I just felt like I wanted to do it. So the theme of this is called On a Winter's Night.
Mm-hmm.
And so it tends to be, it's not as much Christmas music as much as it is winter songs. And, you know, there are a couple Christmas songs on it. But it's on Amazon, on my, you know, on my page on Amazon. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts about it.
Now, I understand, is your mom and dad living in Chicago now?
They do. They live in Deerfield.
Well, they don't like the snow in Cleveland, or what?
Well, my mom has lived there for, gosh, I think over 20 years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's actually a fascinating thing, but my mom and dad are back together. They were separated for about 40 years when I was a little kid. They divorced, and now they've reunited, and they've been back together for about 5 years now.
So that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. Are you able to spend Christmas with them, or do you just stay back in Cleveland?
You know, usually we're on tour, so a lot of times Ann and I have it together in Cleveland, or depending on where we're touring, really has to do with where we're touring for that.
Well, of course, you've been at the Paramount before. It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. Certainly it'll be sold out like it usually does for Jim Brickman when he comes and visits, and a great place to see a wonderful show you always put on.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really look forward to being there. It's been a while, and I love the theater, so I hope people will come out and join us.
Hailed by the Boston Herald as a crowd pleaser, Brickman takes audiences on a musical journey with his romantic piano melodies and engaging wit, making his platinum tour the concert event of the season. Marking this milestone of his dynamic career, Brickman will showcase new music along with the hits that made him the most charted Billboard adult contemporary artist, earned him 2 Grammy nods and 4 gold albums. For more information, visit jimbrickman.com. Jim Brickman celebrates his 2 decades of musical chart busters the only way he knows how, with his fans. With Jim Brickman, the Platinum Tour celebrating 20 years, one night only, at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora, Saturday, October 18th at 8 o'clock. Treat yourself and the one you love to this night of emotion, intimacy, warmth, and humor, fused with Brickman's hits like Valentine, Rocket to the Moon, Love of My Life, and If You Believe. Join Grammy nominee Jim Brickman and special guests Ann Cochran and Tracy Silverman for an evening of music, laughter, and memories at Aurora's beautiful Paramount Theater. Well, Jimmy, as I said before, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and thank you for sharing your unique talents with all of us. We always look forward to seeing you, and if anything we can do by getting the word out, I know Claire will let me know, and I'm looking forward to playing the new Christmas CD on the show here come up pretty soon.
Thank you so much. We'll make sure you get it so you can play it for all of our friends. And always, always a pleasure to talk with you.
And safe travels, my dear friend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Brickman, of course, the very talented entertainer. Always fun to chat with Jim when he comes into town. I wish he'd come into town more often, actually. And it's going to be a great show at the Paramount on October 18th. Only one show, 8 o'clock. For information, 630-896-6666. Again, the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora, celebrating 20 years, Jim Brickman's Platinum Tour. Maybe another little short essay from Vincent Kamen entitled The Change of the Seasons. The last breeze of summer slips through my open window like an old song whispering farewell. It crests in midair looking back at me. It rustles the trees, awakening sleeping squirrels in their newfound nests. Each leaf holds on for dear life. Each is an incipient thrall of faded colors transformed from aerial art, racing like street urchins in search of a pile or clump to join. Each mound resembles shades of Monet's palette as they dart away without as much a wave or goodbye. Some spiral in the air trying to return, but it's too late. My pines refuse to acknowledge them. They bristle in the sunlight. Their hues the last visage of summer colors. Their boughs will hold the new snow when my windows are closed and winter becomes a reflective canvas of white skies. For now, the blurs of summer ebb. Corn stalks peer from lampposts in the city like martyrs of bounty left standing in the shadows of spent leaves. Remnants of brethren gone, waiting as wood smoke conceals winter's first snowfall. And trees stand inside, lighted by a myriad of Christmas colors. The last breeze of summer slips by. Interesting. Very descriptive from Vincent Kamen. The change of the seasons. Little taste of autumn. In just three seasons, the Paramount Theater's bold new Broadway musical series has wowed critics, audiences, and skeptics alike. Nearly 19,000 subscribers now take advantage of Paramount's buy two shows, get two shows free subscription offer, and are amply rewarded with Broadway-quality musicals without the hassle of driving downtown. In the process, Paramount has become one of the top equity musical stages in all of Chicago. Now Paramount officials look forward to another epic season of four blockbuster musicals in 2014-2015. Cats, Mary Poppins, The Who's Tommy, and Les Miserables. Under the guidance of Artistic Director Jim Cordy, President and CEO Tim Rader, and Director of Sales and Marketing Jim Jarvis, the Paramount has turned out a consistent string of major musical hits the past three seasons, including My Fair Lady, Hair, Annie, Fiddler on the Roof, Miss Saigon, and 42nd Street, just to name a few. In its fourth season, Paramount will again extend the runs of each production from the current 4 weeks to meet continued demand for affordable, Broadway-caliber musicals conveniently located in downtown Aurora's beautiful, historic Paramount Theater. Cats and Tommy will run 5 weeks. Mary Poppins' Les Mis will run 6 weeks. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, marketing director, nationally recognized leader in the world of community theater, star of the Oprah Winfrey Show, improvisational comedian, former executive director of the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, one of the nicest people in the world of Chicago theater, and now the vice president for marketing and sales of Aurora's Paramount Theater and the new River Edge Park venue, now presenting Paramount Theater's exciting new 2014-2015 season, our good friend, the great Jimmy Jarvis. Jimmy, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin Moore, thank you so much for having me on. And I'm going to tell you that I want the recording so I can play that as my introductory message on my cell phone and our home phone. That is awesome. Thank you, man.
Always a pleasure. Always delightful to chat with you. And you got another, you're hitting another home run here, buddy.
I got to tell you that, you know, like it's been an amazing year so far. And here's an update for you. We are at over 24,000 subscribers.
Oh, good Lord. You're kidding me.
No, that we've run this, you know, we've been running this campaign. And so it has just taken off for us. So, you know, we do this as, you know, our goal and our CEO, Tim Rader, who you've known for a long time, his goal was, hey, let's make, you know, theater accessible and affordable to everybody, from, you know, somebody maybe working at the line at Caterpillar to somebody who may be sitting in a law office. So we did these buy two show, get two show free packages, and it's taken off like crazy. I mean, the most you'll pay for any seat in our house under a subscription is $27 per show.
Jeez.
And so literally now, and as you said, and I mean, we're talking about, we have full orchestras and these big giant equity productions, and you know, they're beautiful and they're great, and people have responded, and it's just this cool, wonderful experience to be a part of, where everybody's coming out and they're bringing families and grandmothers and friends, and yeah, so it's been a lot of fun.
I've been trying to get tickets for weeks for Cats. I can't get them. I don't know what it is. I need to know somebody there, I guess, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what. That I got a feeling that Will Jarvis, well, you can call him.
Oh, my buddy.
He'll take care of you because he's turning eight soon.
Eight?
So
is that right? God,
yeah,
bless him.
Believe.
God bless him. I know he's disappointed because our Sox didn't do so well this year, but what are you going to do?
No, yeah, he's been disappointed for a couple of years. But, you know, the funny thing is, he actually went to Cats and sat through his first full Broadway
season. Really? How did he like it?
He loved it. I mean, he had a blast.
Oh, great.
When, you know, obviously he gets a few perks, so he got to hang out with a couple of the Cats afterwards.
Cool, and, cool.
And now he wanted to go to school with his face painted, not in Sox colors anymore, but as a cat.
Now, how's his little brother doing?
Sam's good, man. Sam just turned two.
Wow.
And so the good thing is they get along, and Will doesn't want to stick them in the microwave anymore. So they seem to be bonding okay.
Isn't it nice?
And we just moved out here. We just moved out into the area after
oh,
all
you
the
did.
Years.
You
so
did.
My commute went from an hour and 15 to 2 hours each way one day to 15 minutes.
Isn't it great? That's
yeah.
great. Well, God bless you, and I'm glad everything's going well. And, of course, it's a great season. Cats is breaking records, as it should do, because it's just a terrific terrific presentation. Cats Now and Forever, of course. Andrew Lloyd Webber is one of his great hits, and people are loving it.
I got to tell you that, you know, our goal all the time, Jim Cordy and Tim Rader's goal always has been, let's take these traditional musicals and let's put our own spin on it. Let's make it Paramount's. And so they brought in a choreographer, Harrison, who re-choreographed the entire show. So it's got everything from tap numbers to ballet to acrobatics. I mean, you know, I always tell people when I'm sitting in the audience, and I've been doing this for a long time like you have, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching somebody sing and do a backflip while they continue to sing and then continue on, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And they've got bungee cord flying dancing numbers, and the set's just phenomenal. And everything about this show, you just leave just feeling good about it. And the cool thing is, we've gotten a lot of stuff on Facebook and for emails from parents saying, hey, it's the first time we brought our kids or our family to, you know, see a show, and it's a great piece to introduce your kids to a show.
It's a great family entertainment. And what's
yep.
great, too, is that you're following with another great family show, Mary Poppins.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let me say this, because everybody asks, Mary Poppins is going to fly.
There you go.
Mary Poppins
there you
is
go.
Flying a lot around our theater, I could tell you that.
There you go.
So the minute we got Mary Poppins over a year ago, that Tim Cordy and Tim Rader put together the artistic team on that show, and they had literally been working for it by the time it opens for a year. And yeah, Poppins. I mean, it's, you know, I grew up watching, you know, Mary Poppins, and it has Dick Van Dyke as
sure,
Jimmy Sweep.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, and it's all that same great magic, and it's during the holidays, you know, that it's a fun show, it's accessible, it's got all those wonderful hits like Spoonful of Sugar and Super Cal, and it's another one of those where, you know, and ticket sales are just blown off the roof for that, and we're sitting in September, that show doesn't open until November, but it's all about the holidays and bringing grandma and grandpa and
sure.
friends from out of town, and so, yeah, it's just been really enjoyable to be a part of.
Well, what you and Jim and Tim are doing, you're spanning generations. And I like the idea, too. And I remember having this conversation with both Cordy and Tim Rader early on. The shows are so good. Why didn't you present them longer? And that's what you're doing now.
Yeah, finally. You know, as you know, we started doing them like 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. And now we've gone to 5 and 6 weeks just to keep up with the demand. And, you know, hopefully everything continues to go and maybe we expand those even longer on stuff. And you know, it's a nice combination of, you know, we have Cats and then we have Poppins. Then we go into Tommy. And everybody goes, wow, you guys are doing Tommy. Well, nobody does Tommy because Tommy's a really difficult show to
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
And Jim Cordy's taking the helm, man. He's directing that show. And you know, it's the music of The Who. I mean, it's right. got all the great things. Like, hey, even if you may not be a traditional musical fan, come to that, because it's The Who songs. It's filled with hit after hit after hit, and a great way to, like, bring your kid from high school or grammar school, explain what an 8-track is or what vinyl albums are, maybe throw those on in quadraphonic sound.
Will you be on stage playing a guitar in it?
Well, I may be on stage twirl dancing from the shrooms that we're going to sell in the lobby to go along with the whole Who concert. And it's going to say Paramount right there on it with a logo on it, so...
Market anything, baby.
That's what it is. Since I think outside the box, I'm like, well, I got a couple ideas, and then on the way out, we'll sell you White Castles.
See?
Again, with Paramount logos on it, just to get both heads.
Cordy's going to revisit his youth when he was laying up on the North Shore at Loyola there, because
yeah.
that's when he's doing Tommy. That's what that is.
And, you know, and then we close with that epic Les Mis. I mean... And if you never saw the, you know, when they did the Broadway version or the tour, then the movie that came out when it was last year or 2 years ago,
yeah, yeah.
Russell Crowe was phenomenal.
Right.
And it was funny, you know, we talk about the fact of this year, every single show that, you know, our artistic team took on was all huge productions. I mean, there's nothing small about a single one of these things. And Les Mis, I mean, it's just one of the greatest classics, I think, still, you know, ever written. And so, and people have been working on that thing for quite some time. So.
And Cordy's directing that also.
Yeah, so Cordy's directing
busy
that.
Busy guy.
Between everything else that guy is doing, being the artistic director and the like, then he's taken on two shows on top of that.
Busy guy. And yep. Rachel Rockwell, of course, is handling Mary Poppins. What a great director she is. Very award-winning, and that'll be a terrific production, too.
You know, she did Brigadoon this year over at the Goodman.
Right.
She's just won just all sorts of different awards and just an amazing, wonderful director. And we're very lucky with the kind of creative people that we get right across the board, from our actors and musicians to directors and costume designers and everybody else.
And now you're available for the equity positions in the Jefferson Awards, right?
We are. So we are, you know, after a couple of years of doing this, that finally, you know, they kind of rezoned for major musical theaters. And so we are now eligible to be included in nominations for it. So, you know, hopefully that will work out as well. And especially, you know, just the talent that we have here, it would be nice to see some of these folks get recognized, you know, with some kind of award. And for people who don't know that, it's, you know, basically for all intents and purposes, Chicago's version of the Tony Awards.
And that was mainly a geographic issue, wasn't it, Jimmy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think that the original was you had to be within like 38 miles
of the
equity office in Chicago.
Yeah.
We were outside that range. And so finally, you know, I think it was one of those things where we kind of earned our keep. People saw that we were for real and saw the level that we were maintaining. And they came out and saw enough of these shows and said, sure, let's include these guys, which is great for us. We're honored to be a part of it.
You know, besides the Broadway series, of course, which is an unabashed success, you have a lot of great singular shows. You had Donnie and Marie, which was a great hit. In fact, we tried to get Donnie, but I guess he was too busy to be on the show. And that was a great success, one of the great shows from Las Vegas. And now you had it out at Aurora. And Jerry Lewis is coming soon.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis is coming October 26th. And, you know, to me, I mean, I grew up on all that great Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin movies.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you know, what can you say? The guy is an Academy Award winner. The guy's an icon in film and TV, you know, and I didn't know it until we finally booked him and I was writing some stuff. I totally forgot. Actually, he's a Nobel Peace Prize nominee for all the work he's done over the years on stuff. And so it's going to be just a cool afternoon, man. He comes out there. He'll sing a number or two. He does a bunch of his stand-up. He tells all these behind-the-scenes stories and has great photos and videos of that people will never see otherwise. And then at the end of the show, you know, he does a question and answer with the audience. So you get to literally just kind of hang out with Jerry for the afternoon, which I'm going to come because I've been such a fan my entire life.
How do you get somebody like that? I mean, why is he doing this? I mean, he's such, as you say, he's such a lauded entertainer. How do you get somebody like that?
Well, I got to tell you that, you know, his manager said, hey, look, you know, it's one of those things where he still loves going out and he still loves being a part of the audience. And, you know, and especially now where he can just sit down with the audience and talk to him at the end and share all those stories. And, you know, you talk about a guy who's just a wealth of information and has seen so much over that long career.
Even imagine.
Like, he would be a dude I would just love to have dinner with.
Yeah, right.
Let him talk all night long about everything he's done and,
right.
you know, his successful directing and all those kind of things. It was funny. What most people don't realize, you know, when you go on a Hollywood set, they're always closed. Nobody wants anybody on there. And Jerry Lewis was a guy who always had bleachers on his sound studios, and they openly invited people to come in.
Really? Because
he said he found that it put the actors at the top of their game. It caused him to be more creative, and literally he was one of the few people to this day that still did stuff like that, and he was doing stuff like that decades ago.
That's something. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Penn and Teller are coming. I just saw them on TV last night, and, boy, they're a talented duo of magicians.
Oh, my God. You know, I still remember the first time I saw Penn and Teller, and same deal. Decades later, these guys are still going on. And, you know, once in a while, they'll come out of Vegas to do a show. And that thing took about 8 or 9 months for us to secure. But, yeah, it's Penn and Teller at their best. I mean, they're coming in, and they're doing their big illusions and their magic, and they're taking a version of that Vegas show and bringing it here. And it's got a huge response. It's getting pretty close to being sold out. So, you know, it's going to be just a fun night. And people have said, well, why can't you add another show? I'm like, because they can't come in early and they can't stay a day later because we have stuff in between. And it takes a full day to get everything set up for a Penn & Teller show.
I'll bet. We had a guest on before we're chatting with you, who's going to be out at the Paramount on October 18th, the very talented Jim Brickman.
Oh, you know, Jim Brickman, here's a dude who literally has more chart-topping singles than any other person there is on stuff. And you know, some people may go, well, I've never heard of the guy. You might not have heard of him, but you probably heard his songs because he's written for everybody. Johnny Mathis,
right.
Donny Osmond, Lady A, Michael Bolton, you name it. He's got songs all over the place. And just he's got a radio show as well. And he's been doing what he's doing for 20 years. And he's bringing some friends in, sitting at that piano, telling stories, singing songs. And I've never got to meet him yet in person. You know, I hope, and he seems, from everything I've been told, super nice guy. How was he when you guys talked?
You know, he's been on the show, I'd say, got a half a dozen times. Every time comes into Chicago, we chat with him, and on occasion we're able to get to his show. But just a nice guy. He's from Cleveland, the Shaker Heights area. And his parents live in Chicagoland area now, but just a very talented, down-to-earth guy. And I tell the story because this happened last year. I know this is the next person you're going to get out to the Paramount, since you've had Jerry Lewis, is Johnny Mathis. I had him on the show last year, Jimmy, for Christmas. He was doing a Christmas show up at the Rosemont Theater. One of the most delightful, welcoming, down-to-earth guys you'd ever talk with. He would love to be at the Paramount Theater performing, I guarantee you.
Oh, I'd love to get Johnny Mathis.
I mean, that's a guy that you'd sell out how many shows you can do, and I don't know how many he does because he's so popular, but for a Christmas time show, he had the number one hit with Jim Brickman last year, Sending Home a Little Christmas, and Adult Contemporary, but just the nicest guy in the world, and he'd fit into your repertoire just wonderfully. That's what you got to put on the list there with you and Raider. I mean, he's just the nicest guy in the world.
Literally, I actually am standing here, and no lie, I'm writing this down because we're in the midst of, we just started the other day looking at programming and putting in offers for inside for Paramount and outside for River Edge Park next year. Yeah. So I just wrote down Johnny Mathis, like, yes, beautiful, that would be awesome.
Now, John Lithgow, who's a talented man, a Tony, an Emmy, and a Golden Globe winner, he's going to be out there in March also.
Yeah, Lithgow's got a one-man show that he's been doing for quite some time, and he's done it all over the country and on Broadway. And so Lithgow comes out in March. March 7th is when he's going to be here. And so, you know, it's called Stories by Heart. And so there's stories that he grew up in, and, you know, when I was reading about it, he talks about, you know, it was just destiny for him to be a storyteller. Storytellers have been in his family his entire life. And so, you know, this is kind of part autobiography, part stories that he grew up hearing, et cetera. And he sells out everywhere he goes. Ticket sales have done really well right now for him. And yeah, like you said, like the guy's got just a ton of awards. You know, Tony and Emmy and Golden Globes. He's a TV star. He's a movie star. He's a best-selling author. And we're lucky we're going to have him here. And then another one who really, you know, I'm excited about because it's all the people I grew up with. So we're going to have Vicki Lawrence out here.
Right, right. From the Carol Burnett show, right.
Her and Mama has a two-woman show. But, you know, like Carol Burnett and Vicki Lawrence will always be embedded in my life because that was what we did at family is sat around to watch a black and white TV and watch those guys.
Another group that's coming out in November, and their success, I think, is attributable to the support that Jim Jarvis gave them at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, and that's the Under and Streetlight Group.
Oh, right. Yeah, Michael Ingersoll.
Right. You were one of the first supporters of Michael Ingersoll.
Yeah, you know, Michael and the guys kind of made Metropolis, and it really started, which is Michael doing a show by himself and then brought a couple of the guys when they were doing the run of the Jersey Boys. So he planted them in the audience, and they kind of did a bit. And the funny part in those days was when they'd get on stage, they couldn't sing more than like 15 seconds of a song legally. So they'd sing a couple of songs for 15 seconds and stop and go from there. But, you know, it's turned into this huge phenomenon, two PBS specials. They did a couple of nationwide tours now, and it's exciting. And quite candidly, those guys are almost sold out. That's a, you know, Chicago is just their home turf. They come back here, they play, and they sell really well. And so, yeah, we've sold almost 1,800 tickets for those guys.
Well, always a pleasure, my pal. It's always delightful chat with you. I know what, that you're doing so well out there, and I certainly want you to give my best to both Tim Rader and to Jim Cordy. But you know what? Now I'm going to demand that you and I get together here. And I got to go out to Aurora now because not everybody moved here. But that's okay because we got to get together and have a cocktail and chat a little bit and reminisce because I know you're busy, but we got to find time for that.
Well, and here's the thing. Now I actually live closer to you knowing where you live than I did before.
Okay.
So it's even easier for me to get to you and for us to have some cocktails and hang out. And let me say that, Kevin Moore, and I say this all the time in all sincerity, you do a ton for not just the Paramount and places like Metropolis, but everything from small black boxes to major Broadway homes to, you know, PAX, and you've been a wonderful supporter for decades, and you may be the most unlikely lover of theater, given the fact of, right, you know, your upbringing, where you came from, but you make it so accessible for people, and you take your passion and your love for all this stuff, and you help all of us in doing so, so thank you on behalf of everybody in the theater world and Performing Arts Center world in Chicago. Thanks for everything you do for all of us, man. You rock.
You're well, welcome. I'm honored that you say that. And one more time for a phone number website if people like to get out to the Paramount.
Sure. Our phone number for the box office is 630-896-6666. Or you go to ParamountAurora.com, and that takes you to our website and has everything you need on it.
I love you, my dear friend. I'm going to be contacting you. We're going to get together. And please, my best to everybody at the Paramount.
You got it. I love you, too. Thank you so much for having me on, Kevin.
My best to Will and Sam.
You got it. Take
care. Okay, my pal. Thanks, bud.
Bye-bye.
Jimmy Jarvis, the Director of Sales and Marketing from the Paramount Theater, the new River Edge Park venue. I know we talked a little too long, but how can you not talk to a good friend like that and all the great things he has to say? But again, for information about the Paramount and their Broadway series and all the singular shows, 630-896-6666. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Mr. Jim Brickman, who will be appearing at the Paramount Theater for one night only, Saturday, October 18th at 8 o'clock with Annie Cochran and Tracy Silverman, celebrating 20 years and his newest Christmas CD. For information, 630-896-6666. Always a pleasure to chat with Jim. And our good pal Jim Jarvis, the Director of Sales and Marketing for Aurora's Paramount Theater and the new River Edge Park, celebrating Paramount Theater's exciting new 2014-2015 season. What a season it will be with Cats and Mary Poppins and The Who's Tommy and Les Miserables. For information, 630-896-6666. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
Should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way. Now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. Be the best of friends. if we can try with every day to make it better as it grows. Any luck, then I suppose the music, the music.